This is March, the greatest time of the year. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you today. We are without Dr. Crane, as he is out enjoying rugby and darts in Las Vegas. I don't know if there are darts out there, but I'm sure that he's
probably doing something.
He's keeping up with the darts for sure. So no Dr. Crane today. We've just got three of us. We are with you till 10:30, leading you right up to Nashville Predators pregame coverage from New York, as they've got the early game on this Saturday. Big day on 102.5. We got Preds. We've got Vanderbilt men's basketball playing Missouri. Should be fun. We got a good show for you today. Going to talk some Titans. We're going to talk some college basketball, of course, as we have entered the madness of March. But first, let's get to our headlines. Connor Newt, what you got for us this morning?
Well, welcome to the greatest month in sports.
It's the best.
It's the best behind October. But, I mean, it's been a big week for my Wildcats. But how about them on Wednesday? Taking down Oklahoma, who's not a great team, in Norman.
Oklahoma only has four SEC wins, and they're on the bubble, yeah, which is crazy.
That's wild. Wild to think about. Just a bad game from Kentucky to start out. Lamont Butler and Jackson Robinson come back into play. But the man I want to talk about is Otega Owe, scoring, the only Wildcat to score in the last 13 minutes of the game. Scored 28 points, including the shot that sealed it all. Just some circus-level stuff. Driving into the rim, hitting the shot at the buzzer. Or not the buzzer. It was like 1 second left, and then they blocked it to win. Brandon Garrison with a block to win. Then we move to Thursday, and the Lady Cats take down the Lady Vols by 24.
And it was more than that for a while there.
Yeah, it was like a 30-point game.
They were up big.
Yeah.
I was looking at that because I do the out-of-town scoreboard at halftime, and I went through. Tennessee was shooting like 28% from the floor
midway
through
anything.
The third quarter.
Clara Strack, the big center, I think she was 13 of 13 with 21 points. She didn't miss a shot and then had like 13 rebounds. So she had a double-double pretty easily.
She's Kenny's new mini Kitley.
Mini Kitley.
Yeah.
Can I just say thank you for Georgia Amore? I mean,
she's ridiculous.
I want to marry her. Like,
I got to watch Georgia through the first 3 years of her career, most of 3 years, and I mean, you knew from the second she stepped on campus that she was going to be really good.
She's going to be a star.
She's an All-American. Like, there's a good chance she might be SEC Player of the Year.
She's going to be a star. I mean, I'm assuming she's going to go pro after this season.
Yeah, she's had eligibility.
She'll be a star. Like, she'll light up that league.
I mean, if you didn't pay attention 2 years ago, the Final Four run for Virginia Tech, like, Elizabeth Kitley was great, but Georgia Amore was the star on that run.
She's just, she's a great scorer, first of all, but she's a true point guard.
Yeah.
And she just facilitates the floor. Like, if you're open, she's going to find you. She's like a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, and she's unreal.
Kentucky, after that win, I believe, has slid up to the 3 line in a lot of the bracketology stuff.
They're guaranteed a 4.
They're going to host now, yes.
Yeah.
There will be games in Lexington, so that'll be fun. I think the SEC might get 6 or 7 teams hosting, which is
deep
crazy.
In the women's game, too.
It's deep on both sides. Not quite 13 teams making the NCAA tournament, but they're probably going to be 10, which is tough to do. Jake Wallman, what is your headline this morning?
First of all, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
My headline is, I was scrolling X yesterday, and I saw something pretty interesting that I'm wondering is if it's going to become a thing. Hard Knocks is, I don't want to say it's a dying brand.
It's a dying brand.
Yeah, I mean, teams are kind of really dodging that smoke that they bring to camp. So guess where they're taking their talents?
Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill with Chapel Bill.
I mean, there was zero chance that an NFL team was going to do the offseason Hard Knocks again after what happened to Joe Shane last year.
Yeah. He ruined it for everyone.
I mean, Joe Shane, the comment about, what are we paying Daniel Jones $40 million a year for? We're not paying him to hand it off to a $20 million a year running back. And then Saquon putting up 2,000 yards Like,
and then his son basically tells him, you know, don't right. draft Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Draft who he said? Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, he said draft Jaden Daniels. And the John Mara saying, I'm not going to sleep well if he goes to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, there is no NFL team that was going to sign up and say, yeah, I want to put myself under that spotlight. So I think that was really their only option, was to go find a college team.
I was scared they were coming here, especially if Shedeur Sanders would come
here. I bet they're coming here for the actual Hard Knocks, for the training camp Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That's down the road. I will say, if the Titans take a quarterback, I would bet they come here.
Yeah.
But no one was going to do the offseason one again after what happened to the Giants last season.
I'm actually a fan of the one that they do in season. I've kind of grown to like that one.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny because pretty much every team they do it with collapses immediately.
Yeah.
I know they did the full division this year, so it was a little bit different. But the Colts 3 years ago, when they just fell apart down the stretch and Carson Wentz blew it in Jacksonville in week 17. The Cardinals, I believe, were the year after that.
Yeah.
And they weren't even close to making the playoffs. The Dolphins, that was the year that they lost to the Titans and then fell apart and lost the division in the last week of the season to the Bills. So, like, no one's going to want to do Hard Knocks because it seems to only go bad when you let the NFL Films crew just be in your locker room and in your facility.
I'm just not a fan of Hard. I think every season is the exact same, especially a training camp. It's like, well, Patrick Mahomes is showing his prowess on the field, but for seventh round pick Joe Schmo, things are a bit harder. And then we go into like a detail of some seventh round pick we'll never hear from again's life.
It's like Joe Schmo played his college football at Montana State, and he was the third stringer for most of the year, but he's getting a chance on the practice squad.
Like, I don't really care.
Well, and the second part of my headline is, I wonder if we see more of this from college teams. I mean, do you think that's...
You could, and because I think
they're getting their own thing, though. Like, especially in the SEC, I know they're doing a Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I forgot
about that. They were here for Vandy beating Bama, apparently, from, like, start to finish, so I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. I think that thing, though, like, they're not, it's kind of the lower-end SEC teams. Like, I think Alabama's not in it, Mizzou's not in it, Georgia's not in it.
Interesting.
Which is weird. But I'm in favor because I get to see my team suck.
That comes out this summer, I think, is what I saw.
I think something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, we're going to see more and more stuff like this, because especially in college, because the brand exposure. You're going to be able to get more recruits if it's like, hey, we're on Hard Knocks. And, you know, I'm sure people will want to go to the Tar Heels.
Would you like to be on HBO Max?
My headline this morning, it is March, and that means we're getting to the madness.
Mm.
Some of the biggest madness this weekend won't happen on the basketball court. It will happen
in a Starbucks in Indianapolis.
That too. But with a coin toss. By Commissioner Greg Sankey. Have you seen this?
I haven't.
So on the women's side in the SEC, there is a tie at the top. South Carolina and Texas are both 14-1, likely going to win their final game on Sunday and both be 15-1, and their only losses are to each other. So therefore, there is no way to break that tie. So on Sunday, as long as both the teams win their games and it's still tied, at halftime of the LSU-Ole Miss game, Commissioner Greg Sankey is going to flip a coin to decide who is the one seed in the SEC tournament.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, there's no other way to break the tie.
Not even strength of schedule?
Well, they play the same schedule. They played every other team once, and they played each other twice and split it.
Oh, my.
And this is at what game?
So both South Carolina and Texas play earlier in the day. LSU-Ole Miss, I think, tips off at 4 or 3, somewhere around there.
Something like that.
And so at halftime of that game, Greg Sankey is going to flip a coin to decide who the one seed is.
I mean,
I can just imagine Greg Sankey sitting in his office and he's got, like, he's looking at the standings and he goes, how can I make this about me?
Yeah, well, I guess he's the person who it makes. They should have Feinbaum flip the coin.
Greg Sankey's the kind of guy to flip his coin and not catch it. It just lands on the floor.
Greg Sankey was actually at the Vandy women's game on Thursday night.
I'm sure that was riveting.
Oh, wait, it bounced.
Yeah. lands in his coffee.
I've looked at the process. Apparently, he is supposed to catch it on the back of his hand, and there's a Gamecock logo on one side and a Longhorn logo on the other. And whoever it comes up as is the one seed, the other is the two.
Thank you for detailing how a coin flip works.
It's important because the loser would have to play LSU in the semifinal, while the winner probably gets Kentucky, which,
yeah.
I mean, not that Kentucky's not good, but I think there's a different talent level between LSU and Kentucky.
If we're doing tiers, those are probably the A tier, Kentucky's high-end B tier.
Right. So I thought that was interesting because you always look at these tiebreaker things where eventually it gets to a coin flip. Like, that always has to be the last, because if these teams are identical, there has to be a way to break the tie, and it's a coin toss. We're actually going to get one on Sunday, most likely, unless
there's
a big upset.
Is this going to be on film?
Yeah, no, it's on SEC Network.
Okay.
So you can tune in and watch the coin flip live if you want to.
I think we should bet. We should place some bets on... Well, you can't. I will.
Is that an open market?
This is an open market. We're going to set the line at minus 350 for Ole Miss. South Carolina.
That's heavy juice on a 50-50 coin toss.
Easy money. Easy money.
Plot twist, Greg Sankey pulls out the quarter that was made in 2020 with the Delaware State logo on it.
Yeah.
This is a paperclip.
Well, that could be a great moment on Sunday in March, which brings us to our question of the day. What is your favorite March Madness moment in college basketball?
If I hear either of you mention Oakland or St. Peter's, I will walk out of the studio and never come back.
We'll have to see if that happens at 10 o'clock.
You better not.
We'll give our answers.
I can't disclose who my favorite moment is, but Kentucky is definitely a top three.
My favorite moment is all of Tennessee's Final Fours.
Yo,
wow.
Man.
Wow.
That joke is as tired as the coal mines joke.
No, not really.
Yes,
This one actually makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Again, our question of the day: what is your favorite March Madness moment of all time? We will get to all the answers coming up at 10 o'clock. Again, a little bit of a shorter show today. We'll be off the air at 10:30, leading you right into Predators pregame coverage as they are in New York today. Early game on a Saturday. We'll lead you right up to Robbie Stanley and his pregame coverage coming up again at 10:30. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Titans. It is Combine Week out in Indianapolis. No Cam Ward, no Shador Sanders working out today with the quarterbacks. But what did we learn from Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi as they spoke at the Combine earlier this week? We'll talk about that coming up next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman off and running on this Saturday morning. Again, we're leading you up till 10:30. Preds pregame coverage from New York. Well, actually, pregame coverage from here with Robbie Stanley. We'll get you up there with Max Herz and Hal Gill. But we're going to talk some Titans here. I do want to remind you our question of the day. What is your favorite March Madness moment, as it is March 1st? We're getting close to the greatest college basketball month of the year. Well, actually, we're in it now. But we want to hear what your favorite moment is. And you can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk some Titans. It is Combine Week up at Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis. And the Titans are probably one of the biggest stories up there as they hold the number one pick. What are they going to do with it? And the quarterbacks are not working out today. But we did get to hear from them. We got to hear from the head coach and the GM. And I think we learned a little bit, although it is lying season, so who really knows?
Everyone's good.
Right.
The bad teams don't know they're bad yet.
And the Titans talked up pretty much everybody, talked up the edge class, they talked up, man, Travis Hunter, he's such a special player. The quarterbacks both have put themselves into the conversation to be the number one pick. So I think there's a lot to like about this class. And I think the Titans have done a nice job of not really showing their hand at which way they're going to go.
Yeah, I really liked listening to that press conference. But what I got from that is the draft board's set. They know who they want at one, or maybe not at one. Maybe they are working on something to trade down. But there's been speculation as to where they're going to go. Are they going to go quarterback? If they're going quarterback, are they going Cam Ward, Shador? Are they going to go edge? Abdul Carter got hurt.
Right, stress fracture in his foot.
Big story this week. He's not going to require surgery, which I'm in the camp of I'm not super freaking out about his injury, but I would not draft him at one.
And Jared Stillman has said this week that if he doesn't work out at his pro day, he would take him off the board completely.
Mm. I forgot Jared was in the full control of the Titans draft board.
Which, obviously that means nothing to what the Titans would do. But
he knows I love him.
I also agree that the Titans shouldn't be in the business of taking injured players with valuable picks.
No, I agree.
And there is no more valuable pick than number one overall. I get it. They're going to get their doctors. Like, Abdul Carter is going to come here, and he's going to have a medical evaluation by the Titans doctors. So they will be able to tell you one way or the other.
Do we trust the Titans doctors?
I mean, yeah,
though?
Caleb Farley came in here.
Recently, L'Jarius Sneed came in here.
Sneed is...
He's a different story.
Sneed is different because it wasn't his knee. It was the quad. But
we still don't know what the hell was wrong with it and why he sat the rest of the season out.
Yeah, it's strange. But I was telling you, Connor, that I am in on Cam Ward at number one. It's taken me
a little bit
here. Yeah,
chips
and
in the middle.
I think it's been a slow, gradual process because when the Titans first got the number one pick, I would have taken Sanders over Ward.
Mm.
But as new and more information has come out, and I've actually kind of watched these players, I think Cam Ward is, and I saw this yesterday, I think the gap is pretty wide between Ward and the next best quarterback in the draft. You look at the way Cam Ward plays the game, yes, there are some stupid plays in there.
Mm.
But, and I've said this before, it's not Will Levis type stupid. It's very, even though the results are the same sometimes, they do it in very different ways, and I think Cam Ward is more coachable that you can avoid those mistakes. He plays so loose out there, whereas Will Levis was so tight, and it's just like everything just felt like he was about to snap. Cam Ward is out there relaxed, and I think you can coach some of the decisions out of him rather than Will Levis, who's just trying so hard to do everything at 100% every second of every play.
Yeah.
Whereas Cam Ward, I think, with that relaxed ability, you can kind of get him to play within the offense a little bit more.
The upside is there for Cam Ward. It's high ceiling for him. Now, how low is his floor is my question.
Right.
I don't know. As far as other prospects, I think Abdul Carter is the best prospect in this draft.
Right. I agree
with
that.
Which is weird because I don't think I'd take him at number one.
Yeah. I think if you trade down, that means you don't like the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I think Abdul Carter would be a great pick at 3, 4, 5, wherever you end up.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't make it to 6.
Yeah. He's top 5.
Is it Shamar Stewart, the Texas A&M
yeah.
guy who...
He's a combine darling
right
now. He
put up like a 999 athletic score yesterday.
He's a combine darling.
So that could be another guy if the Titans trade down a little bit further and you still want to go edge. Maybe that's a guy that they look at.
That's the thing. Abdul Carter's by far the number one edge in this draft class. But the edge is so deep.
Right.
That you could probably take an edge in the second round, and you'd be just as fine.
I think I saw yesterday that Stewart's athletic score grade is the third highest among edge players since they started doing this data. The other two went number one overall.
I kind of take the combine scores with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Right.
Though. If we were drafting on combine scores, Will Levis would be pick number one. And Joe Milton would be a first-round pick.
The combine is important, but yes, I agree that it's the underwear Olympics where what you can do on that field doesn't always translate to what you can do on an actual NFL football field.
Now, the combine is an excuse for owners and coaches of other teams to get together and
right.
negotiate a little bit. Let's talk. What will you give me? What do you want to do? I think that's more important than the actual combine participants putting up stats. But
right.
To each their own.
And I was looking through the somebody tweeted out the top 10 40-yard dash times of all time. Really, the only players that you can look at and say they ended up being good NFL players, Chris Johnson, of course.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's too early to say, but Xavier Worthy looks like he's going to be good NFL player.
He looks solid.
But outside of those two, the rest of them ended up being either busts or just not even really impact players at the NFL level.
Yeah.
John Ross, obviously, is
John
one that
Ross
stands
is the first
out.
One that comes to mind for me.
So I agree that the NFL Combine, the results aren't all that important to what the NFL player actually ends up being. You're right. It's more about getting everybody from the NFL together in one place before free agency in the draft. And somebody put the story out there that, you know, the reason the Titans and Rams made that deal back in 2016 for the number one pick is because their booths were next to each other at the Combine. Like, that's where it started. Mm. So who knows what could be going on behind the scenes there. I think the Titans, if they trade back, I would think edge is probably a spot that they go.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the offensive linemen are worth a top 10 pick, at least for the Titans right now, where it's like, is Will Campbell a tackle? Maybe, maybe not.
No.
So
guard.
You're not taking a guard with the sixth or seventh overall pick. So I think edge would be a good spot. Maybe wide receiver, although Tet McMillan seems to be slipping down draft boards. Luther Burden's kind of been slipping too.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm in at quarterback at one. I think the Titans should stick and pick. How often do you get to pick number one overall? And I think Cam Ward would not be the lowest rated prospect to go first overall as a quarterback.
Mm-mm.
There have been quarterback classes worse than this, where somebody stretches to go get one.
Mitchell Trubisky went number two overall.
Right.
How'd that go?
And I just don't understand why somebody made the meme out of this, of like the in the workplace, like the human resources, like it's all these other teams saying they're going to draft quarterbacks early. No one seems to bat an eye. It's like, oh, the Browns would be ecstatic to take Cam Ward at number two overall, or the Raiders should trade up for Shedeur Sanders. But if anybody suggests the Titans take Cam Ward first, they're like, oh, he's not worth the first overall pick, but he's worth the second pick. It's like the Titans are a quarterback needy team. Cam Ward, by all indications of what we've heard out of the Combine and people, seems to be worth a top 10 pick. You take those guys at number one overall.
Now, if you take Cam Ward, doesn't matter where you pick him, I'd sit him.
Really?
I would sit him. I'd bring in a bridge guy, whether that be, you know, Russell Wilson maybe getting cut. I would not bring in Aaron Rodgers.
Jameis Winston.
Just someone to kind of ease the Titans into the season a little bit, maybe teach Cam Ward a thing or two, and then it's Ward show.
I think you bring in a veteran for sure to be your backup. Like, I would not be behind a Cam Ward, Mason Rudolph quarterback room, because
no,
I saw there were indications
no.
The Titans would be open to bringing Rudolph back. No, I think you go get a veteran guy with some experience, but I still think Cam Ward would be your week one starter. That dude's played 5 years of college football.
Yeah, he said it the other day.
So
why he's not thrown in the pro day, he said
five years of film.
Speak for themselves.
I'm behind Cam Ward at number one. I think when you have the number one pick, I've said it before, you either take your quarterback or put yourself in position to draft a future quarterback. And
I think I would do the latter.
But I keep thinking about this. Who's coming out next year that...
You're right.
Like,
and TD has said this before too. Like, we're deeming Arch Manning the best quarterback in this draft class, and he's not even played a full season
right.
of the SEC.
Like, there's the idea of Arch Manning being good, but the other quarterbacks coming out could have come out this year. Garrett Nussmeier and Drew Aller, and I think Cam Ward probably grades out higher than those guys right now.
Yeah. I don't know.
I understand that it happens every year where it's like the idea of this future quarterback class that is so much better than this one, but you have the number one pick right now. You gotta take advantage of it. And I think Cam Ward is he the best player in the class? No, but you reach on quarterbacks when you think a guy is worthy of even a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
And I think Cam Ward is worth that.
Yeah.
Quick question for you both, you know, regarding the Cam Ward bridge QB room situation with the Titans. If you bring in a guy like, I don't know, like Russell Wilson, and let's say you draft Cam Ward, and we've talked about it on this show in this station before, what if the Titans start 1-4? What, you know, 2-5? And if you're Brian Callahan, you know, you're kind of coaching for your job at that point, do you pull the trigger and start Cam Ward.
Yeah. Show the world that you drafted the right guy.
Well, yeah, and Callahan, I think Callahan, if they do draft Cam Ward, and we can get into this more on the other side, I think Callahan's job depends less on wins and losses next year than it does Cam Ward showing promise.
Well, I've said it before. You take a quarterback, you're committing to Brian Callahan for 2 to 3
right.
years.
Right, yeah. That means you believe that Brian Callahan can develop Cam Ward. And I think that Brian Callahan's job depends way less on whether they go 4-13 or 9-8 versus does Cam Ward look like the guy that you drafted him to be?
Yeah. And then you can eventually get to the point where it's about wins and losses.
Right. Like year two, obviously, you would expect the wins to follow if Cam Ward is that guy.
Okay, but we got our quarterback. Let's see him win some games.
Right.
If you're not winning games, chances are it's probably not the coach, or it probably is the coach. It's probably not your quarterback.
We'll dive more into this on the other side here on Four's Company. Tune into Sports Talk 8:30 tomorrow for coverage of the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Focused Health 250. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. Talking Titans here on this Saturday morning. We'll get into more about the quarterbacks on the other side. Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Oh, they're both worthy of the conversations that they're in right now. You know, they're both good players. I think they've earned the right to be in the conversations they're in. As far as where I see them and how I stack them, that's for me. but I do think they're worthy of those conversations. There's some other good players in this class too, and I do think that one of the things that's most important is that you never make an assumption when you're in this process, and that you treat every prospect, whether you think they're the first pick or the 200-and-something pick, that you go through that evaluation phase with the same intensity and thoroughness that you would regardless of where you think they fall. And so you have an accurate evaluation of all the players, where the class stands and how you'd stack the class. That's also really important because there's evidence over the years that there's a lot of players that in those later rounds that end up being impactful players. And so you just make sure that you have you do your due diligence on all the positions from the top of the class to the back of it. So you have a great feel for where those guys might fall.
That was Brian Callahan earlier this week talking about the quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Do they fall into the category of worthy of the number one pick? And it seemed like that was the way he was trying to put it. It is lying season, though. We have no idea whether he's actually telling the truth or not. And I thought the Titans did a pretty good job of trying to hold their cards close to their chest on Tuesday when they spoke. They did a nice job of, hey, we love everybody, but also not getting too overly complimentary of any specific player, too.
They're not committing. I mean, it's like dating. When you're dating around, you don't want to just outwardly say,
right,
I love you, I want to be with you. You kind of play your cards a little bit.
There's no ring on any of these prospects' fingers yet.
Nothing wrong with playing around. I phrased that horribly. There's nothing wrong with, I'm going to stop talking now.
That's probably a good
thing.
Force Company, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Going through some of the headlines from Indianapolis this week, Titans with the number one pick. Neither quarterback throwing today, but we just kind of talked about it. I think I'm on board with Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward at number one is now my favorite scenario for the Titans. Trading back would be number two because you've got to either add to your draft pool. Borgonzi and Brinker have said that they want 30 picks over the next 3 years, 12 in the top 100. The only way you do that is by trading back.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't hate a trade back. But I just feel like Cam Ward is worthy of that pick. And when you're picking number one and you need a quarterback, you take a quarterback.
Yeah, I see it. I'd feel much more comfortable trading down. You don't have a third round pick this year. Replenish that. Get a first round pick next year. Don't give up your first round pick next year. Then you got two picks. You got two shots to go get your franchise guy.
It does not connect in my head that somebody's going to want one of these quarterbacks enough to move up to one, but yet you don't want them. Like,
it's like draft day.
Like, I understand that there's different flavors. Like, different teams like might have different grades on different quarterbacks, but if a team is willing to give up future first to go get Cam Ward, don't you think that would make the Titans think, maybe we're missing something here?
Can I give you a little breaking news unrelated to football?
Go ahead.
This is from our friend Elliot Friedman. Hearing Gustav Nyquist will not play this afternoon for Nashville on Long Island. Health protection for his trade.
Wow.
So, looks like Nyquist is going to be moved here pretty shortly.
Coming up on the trade deadline, Predators going to be sellers, and we'll see if Nyquist is on the move coming up. And again, we're leading you right up to pregame coverage with Robbie Stanley coming up in just under an hour as the Predators take on the Islanders in an early game. It's 11:30 puck drop. Is that?
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
you can watch the game and go take a nap, and then
we
wake right back up for the Elimination Chamber tonight.
Well, and Vandy men's basketball.
And Vandy men's basketball.
Taking on a ranked Missouri team in a Memorial.
It's going to be awesome.
Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron from the borough wants to chime in. Ron, good morning. What you got for us?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Dr. Crane. How are we doing?
Hey!
I'm alive and well. I have all my vital organs, which is good. Unfortunately, my credit card did get stolen, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so... We're currently rolling on the green cash that's in my wallet.
That's what you get for waking up in Vegas, Nick Frazier.
Are you at the casino right now?
Yeah, that's where the hotel's at. Yeah, I'm currently in the lobby. Got me a nice free coffee.
Can we play blackjack with you?
Yeah, can you
on
go,
the air?
Can you go play a hand?
I mean, I just walked away from the table. I was up a good bit, which is good. So
you were at the table at 7:41 in the morning, Nick Frazier?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I got breakfast, and they said, hey, you busy? I was like, not really. So I stopped at the table. And
wow.
Is it Continental?
What a nice lady. No, it's not Continental, unfortunately.
You got ripped off, buddy.
That is why there are no clocks in Vegas casinos. Dr. Crane.
There isn't. It is really weird, but
Dr. Crane. I got a quick question for you. What's the betting scene like? And on a scale of 1 to 100, how hard are you going to hammer Tennessee money line today at home against Alabama?
I'll make sure the guy next to me does that, and I just watch him laugh in his face.
You should
That's
be talking about the Braves.
Happen.
Yeah, it's baseball
Braves,
season, Jake
buddy.
Wallman.
They have spring training games on here. It's pretty crazy. I'm not going to admit. I'm just. This is kind of. It's full of joy and a lot of craziness. I'll say the late nights is when everything's busy.
Oh, yeah.
Not time to play, in my opinion. Mornings is where you cash in.
That's probably a good point. Well, Dr. Crane, glad you're doing well out there in Vegas. Enjoy the rugby.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And we're glad to hear from you.
Watch out for old woman penny peddlers when they get out of church. Just be careful.
Yeah, I've already made that mistake, unfortunately. Yeah. So, yeah, but I appreciate you guys taking my call. And, yeah, I heard Jake's comment earlier about Cam Ward. I'm in on that now.
Let's
After
go.
The whole Abdul Carter situation
Look
with the
that.
Foot.
You just flipped
I still
Jake
think,
or Nick Frazier.
The Forge Company crew is going to be banging the drum for Cam Ward at this station for the next 2 months.
Wait, not me.
Hey, when Jake Lyman says St. Patrick's Day is the deadline, I'm in on it. I mean, Jake Lyman has got me thinking right now, so appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Crane. We're
hey,
on board.
Guys, have a great extra show, all right?
Enjoy Vegas.
Extra scoop of ice cream for me, buddy.
You got it, man.
Nick Frazier calling in on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We miss him in studio, but glad he called in. I'm telling you.
I really wanted to play blackjack with him.
That would have been hilarious.
I don't know if you would have been allowed to play.
No, I am allowed to play card games. I just can't bet on sports.
Can you imagine? He just puts us on the table. What do we got? He's like, we're sitting at 13.
Yeah.
Hit it. Hit hard.
That would be hilarious. And Nick Frazier did mention my St. Patrick's Day deadline. If the Titans are trading the pick, it's going to happen within the next 16 days.
Then they have till St. Patrick's Day, and then I'll flip over to the Cam Ward
Let's
bus.
Go. Let's go.
But as of right now, I'm on the trade that pick bus.
All right. We will circle back to that on our March 22nd show, and that'll be after free agency. Offseason's flying by in the NFL. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, our question of the day, what is your favorite March Madness moment?
We'll get to our answers. Oh, I wish we would have gotten Frazier's.
Oh, we should have asked Frazier. We'll get him to text us.
Yeah, it's a private text line.
Yes, we'll have him text us his answer. You can text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to those answers coming up in about 15 minutes. But coming up next, it's Newt's Notes with Connor Newt here on Forge Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. One of the greatest segments in all of radio. You can hear the music, Forge Company. It's time for Newt's Notes. Connor, take it away.
All right, so I got a rant. You and I had a little interaction over the week. I was very upset that Vanderbilt men's basketball on Wednesday ran quite long. In fact,
yeah,
the longest game of all time.
Yeah, the last 3 minutes and 13 seconds took 45 minutes of actual time.
Unreal. And I get it. That's not their fault. I'm not mad at Vanderbilt. I'm not mad at Texas A&M. I'm really mad at the SEC Network. Because 2 hours in between games is clearly not enough time.
Yes, I agree with that. It's very rare that a game is actually done in 2 hours.
I'm tired of, especially when Kentucky plays the late game, or not even Kentucky. Like, if the SEC is so deep this year, I've been watching a lot of SEC basketball. I don't want to watch, you know, South Carolina and Auburn go over, and I'm missing, you know, Alabama and Florida. That's just a hypothetical. I don't think that's actually how the schedule played out. I think the SEC needs to move these 6 o'clock games back to 5:30. Give it 2.5 hours. If you go over, it's not by much. Most people, I don't have ESPN Plus. I'll just tell you that. So I can't, when a team or a game coming on after goes to SEC Plus, I'm kind of screwed because I can't watch it.
Is SEC Plus ESPN Plus, or do you, as long as you have SEC Network, do you get SEC Network Plus?
I think it's the same umbrella.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay.
I don't have SEC Plus. I've tried. I don't know.
I think you just got to get ESPN Plus, and then you get
this is a message
SEC Network Plus.
This is a message to Charles Richard Newt. Please purchase ESPN Plus. Please.
Well, I thought it was funny scrolling through Twitter and seeing all of the Kentucky fans
so mad.
All of them are tweeting like, no one cares about Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. We want to watch the Cats. And I'm like, this is a bubble team beating a top 15 team on the road.
No,
like,
I think
it was an important game.
That's excessive because I cared about that game.
Right. Like, it was an important game. I understand you want to watch your team, and it is frustrating that the windows are that close, but I just was laughing because I'm like, the world does not revolve around Lexington, Kentucky.
Sometimes it does.
It used to. Not anymore.
Yeah. We're going to reclaim the Kentucky Invitational here in about a week. But I'm just saying, like, I'm kind of sick of, if it's not on SEC Plus, it's on ESPN News, and that's fine, but my dad's kind of old school, so he'll DVR the game sometimes when he's coming back from
annoying.
Work. So this week, I was waiting for him to come home, because I like to watch with him, because it's funny. He didn't get home till 8:30, game started at 8, we DVR'd it, and it was just like the last 3 minutes of Vanderbilt and Texas A&M for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So we missed, you know, 13 regulation minutes of Kentucky, and basically we watched, you know, the last third of the first half and then the second half. So, I mean, it was really frustrating. It is frustrating, and I understand you're in a time window. Time windows are hard, but college football has the same problem.
Yeah.
Like, these games run over. 2 hours, or I think college football gets 3 hours is not enough time.
I guess the issue is probably that if they did 2.5 hours, the studio would have to fill for a long time if there was a quick game. Like, let's say a game gets done in 1:50. Then that studio's got to fill for the next 40 minutes.
That's fine.
Which, I mean, I'm sure they could do it, but that's probably why they try and keep it tight, so they can just toss from game to game to game.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're running the risk of a lot of fan bases being mad at you.
No, I agree with that.
And it's not just Kentucky. Like, I've seen Tennessee get mad about it. I've seen Alabama get mad about it. It's pretty much everyone in the SEC. Vanderbilt gets mad about it.
It is frustrating because it does seem to happen almost every single time. And yes, when games are on ESPN or ESPN2, they will bump it down to ESPN News or ESPNU or one of those. And it gives you another option.
And that's fine if you're watching live.
Right. But yes, the DVR, that does make sense, because if a game runs long, you never know how much you're going to miss.
I think it's just frustrating because it seems like ESPN is the only entity that has this problem.
You're probably right.
When you watch on CBS, I mean,
CBS also doesn't always do doubleheaders.
They don't.
I think.
But Fox, when you watch on that, or NBC sometimes, it never has that. And I get ESPN runs most – the majority of college basketball games throughout the season, especially in the SEC. But these other networks aren't having a problem. You're kind of driving people away, especially on a weekend. Hey, maybe I'll go watch UConn and St. John's play over on CBS instead of Vanderbilt in South Carolina, which is not on yet.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you can blame our good friend Brent Williams for missing so much of that game, continuing to foul for Texas A&M.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you so much.
I mean, I get it. It is annoying. Maybe 2:15 is the way to do it, but then you get some kind of weird start times.
Yeah.
But
tip-offs don't usually happen until, like, if you have a 6 o'clock game, tip-off isn't happening until 6:10.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do it like the NBA, where the NBA games will just, they'll just push it back until the TV's ready.
No, you can't do that.
Like, in those TNT doubleheaders, like, if game one runs long, they'll just hold game two for 15 minutes. But you can't do that in college because it's like the timing is all lined up for the game to start at whatever it is, 7:02.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just say, hey, hold it for 15 minutes and radio broadcasts. You've got to fill for the next 15 minutes. And, you know, the marketing director's got to completely redo the script for the next 15 minutes. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how you fix it, because I doubt ESPN is ever going to increase those windows.
No, it's not going to happen.
But
I'm just putting it out there. Like,
they should.
It's getting frustrating.
Yeah.
It's been really bad this year. Like, worse than years prior, it feels like.
Well, the good news is that we're going to get to tournament time starting in a week, and then there won't be any worry because
four screens up all at once.
One game can't start until the next one ends. So we won't have to worry about that anymore. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in on that, Connor's Newt's notes about the SEC network and ESPN overlapping games too much. And also our question of the day, which we will get to next. What is your favorite March Madness moment as we enter the best month of college basketball? And we will talk about our answers coming up next. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders take on UTEP. Tip off at 3 p.m. with the pregame beginning at 2:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. We will take a quick break. We'll be back. Go through our question of the day here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.